What's up, Bomb Squad? It's episode 23. It's June 6th. It's a Tuesday show on a Wednesday. I am joined here, of course, with my co-host, Tones. Tones, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. I just had a day off today. Just hanging out.
That's awesome.
How about you? How are you doing, Tom?
I had to work, like the rest of America. It was okay. But I'm doing good. You know, I'm just watching NFL Network here in the background. Just, you know, we're 93 days away from kickoff. Very excited about
that. That's it? Only 93?
Only 93 days.
Wow.
And then we have to, you know, Bucks have to go ahead and face Drew Brees and probably just the season ends right there in week one. But let's try not to think about that. We have some housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Big housekeeping. So we have a new format for our Tuesday show. So we are getting rid of baseball talk. No more baseball talk.
What?
Yeah. So we're going to a little Sarah McLachlan for the baseball talk. I will remember you. So, you know, I mean, you can get sports podcasts anywhere if you really want to hear about baseball opinions. We could sit here and talk about baseball, but nobody gives a shit what we have to say about it. Am I right? And it always just felt forced. And
the thing with baseball is, I mean, it's such a long season, and like from week to week, there's usually not a whole lot to talk about, you know, like real noteworthy stuff. So it's, yeah, like you said, it seemed kind of forced, and you know, it was also like a lot of extra preparation. Like,
oh, it took forever. I mean, just to talk about like Clayton Kershaw to get his ERA, K per nine, K to walk ratio. It's just like, it's a lot of just cutting and pasting. I mean, it's really not that hard of work, but it's annoying.
Yeah. It's just extra work on top of all the stuff we're doing already.
Yeah. Listen to a Jason Stark podcast if you want to hear that shit.
Yeah.
But we've replaced it with something that we think is going to be a home run. Okay. That's going to put game changing content. It's going to put butts in seats. So we're going to have interviews now. Okay.
What?
Give me a hallelujah. Hallelujah! As we introduce something new, we always like to play the Mark Wahlberg hallelujah from Rockstar. So basically, we're going to have a I guess we'll just kind of surprise you once we get to it, but you'll find out who we're interviewing then. But we're going to have consistent people to interview, and it's going to be awesome. Yeah. So definitely, definitely stay tuned.
Huge first guess.
I'm huge excited. We got a huge get. Couldn't believe we were able to pull it off.
I know.
But we got him. So we'll get to that in a minute, because first we have some news.
Is it good or bad news?
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Bad news.
Bad news.
It's bad news.
Fuck.
And pardon me while the slaughterhouse next to me with dogs is going off in the background, if you could hear it. So Tones, a total of 192 people were made missing after the Fuego volcano's eruption in Guatemala, officials said on Tuesday, as another powerful explosion sparked a mass evacuation of areas already devastated. 2 days after the eruption killed at least 75 people, the terrain was still too hot in many places for rescue crews to search for bodies, or increasingly and unlikely with each passing day, survivors. So Tones, we got Kilauea fucking blowing up all over the place in Hawaii. Okay, we got people getting sucked out of airplanes.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
It's crazy out there. It's absolutely crazy. What do you think could possibly be next? I mean, ever since we've been doing bad news, it's been very bizarre bad news. That's why we decided to start doing this, because it's just like people getting sucked out of planes. I'm like, you know, this isn't Malaysian Airlines. This is Southwest people getting sucked out. And we just got volcanoes spewing lava all over the place.
Yeah, it's scary, man. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's just because we started paying attention more now that we're noticing it, or if this is just like, maybe it's the gods saying, you know, trying to give us an edge in the podcast game, knowing like, all right, these guys are doing bad news. Let's give them something really to talk about.
Yeah. Like, let's just have a fire volcano go off. I mean, it's called Volcano Fuego, Fuego Volcano, which is just like means fire volcano.
It's a real creative name.
Yeah, right.
Volcano. Oh, Fuego Volcano.
Guatemalans, zero creativity. And plus, I mean, like when you're looking at these casualty numbers, just like, you got to feel bad, because you just know Guatemala had zero heads up. I mean, like if it were to happen here, like Kilauea, you had like a heads up. You got out of there. I don't think there have been any casualties, unless there are like stupid people who, like, you know, when you have a mandatory evacuation for a hurricane and they stay, it's like that. But they decided to stay in their house, underestimating it. Guatemala's just like, whoa. Volcano.
Yeah, I mean, it might as well just be the ancient Mayans, like, sitting at the bottom of a volcano. Like, they have no way of knowing. They don't have scientists, I don't think, that studied these volcanoes.
There's they one probably guy. Do, but there's no way to get that scientific research out to these people, right?
I mean, I feel like their scientist is just a guy that lives in, like, a hut, like, near at the base of the volcano. Once you see smoke, he just starts yelling, "Smoke! Smoke!
Run!" I like to think it's Pierce Brosnan on like an expedition, like studying like real active volcanoes, like in Dante's Peak. And he's living in a hut down there and he's like the only white guy in Guatemala. And he's just like studying the seismic activity. Yeah. Like, we need to get out of here like immediately. And the Guatemalan president is just like, no way, it's tourist season. This is where we make our money.
No, the president's just like, okay.
Corre, run, get out of here. But yeah, I mean, I guess we'll continue to monitor the volcano situations because they seem to be popping up biweekly at this point. Yeah. So, you know, I'd be watching out, Pompeii, you know, you might be due.
Yeah, man. Long overdue.
All right. So with that, we are going to get into our brand new portion of the show, which is the interview. So Tones, I was able to get an interview with Satan.
No shit. Really?
Satan himself.
Yep. Wow. How did you manage that?
You know, made a deal.
I hope it was worth it. This better be a good goddamn interview. Yeah.
All right, so get us into the interview.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. And I want to have them answered immediately.
Yes, Satan, is that you?
Yeah, is that Tom, is that you?
Yeah, it's me. Hey, Satan, how are you?
Good, yeah, sorry, the connection's a little bad all the way down here.
Yeah.
Stronger than it should be down in hell.
Yeah, I bet. Well, Satan,
I'm a huge fan. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I'm just excited to be here.
Oh, that's great. So Satan's part of the bomb squad. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
So Satan, first of all, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me today. Really looking forward to this interview. But how are you doing? How is everything?
I'm doing better than my neighbors are down here. Let's just leave it at that.
Oh, boy. How is hell, by the way?
Hell's hot, man. That's just the way I like it. Yeah. I got a pretty sweet setup down here. I mean, I got a bitchin' tan going 24-7. And I even have a celebrity barber, Giuseppe Franco, down here. He cuts my horns every couple days, gives them some nice shape-ups. So I'm just always looking on my horns are on fleek, got the sweet tail, and like, what else could you want?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, it's a little bit too hot. I mean, like, I'm the kind of guy who, like, I love Florida, but I wouldn't want to live there year-round, you know?
Yeah, well, nobody asked you.
Oh, okay. All right, so Satan, okay. So tell me if this is accurate and stop me at any time if I'm wrong about any of this information, okay? So you were once an angel who, along with one third of the angelic host, aka your buddies, you rebelled against God and you were consequently condemned to the lake of fire. Is that accurate?
Yes and no. So I'll give you the real story. God's a hypocrite, right? I mean, we weren't really that bad. One day, me and my buddies were just sitting around smoking some doobies. And he just decided to ban us to eternal damnation. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, one time I walked in on him doing a light of blow off of a cherub's ass. And he's gonna come out here and tell me that I can't smoke a little bit of doobies with my hashtag bomb squad. You know, I invented bomb squad. That's a whole other tangent. You know, he's gotta keep up this image for all of his goody two-shoe angel followers and all the holier-than-thou bullshit. But I mean, that being said, I don't really have any beef with God. He's a pretty chill bro, cool to hang out with, except for the whole eternal damnation thing.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like, I mean, there was no second chance. I mean, like, it had to have been more than you and your buddies just smoking doobies. Like,
yeah, I mean, maybe we were, you know, corrupting some of the female ladies, so to say. But you know, we're just guys being dudes. I just want to smoke doobies and crush poon. What else could you want?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, God to me, I mean, like, the way that it's portrayed, I guess, and you just called him a hypocrite and he's doing lines off of, you know, some female angels, you know, breasts. You know, he seems like a very forgiving kind of guy. So that's why I'm asking, like, you really must have fucked up for him to condemn you to the lake of fire. I mean, because that's a pretty stern punishment. Like, I would think that you, like, killed somebody or you, you know, you really.
Well, I mean, you know, you talk shit, you get hit. I mean, someone was talking shit, and, you know, maybe took a little too far and went and got the strap. And, you know, we'll just leave it at that. I don't want to incriminate myself. I mean, I've done enough. I think my record speaks for itself.
Okay.
He's just kind of a hypocrite. I don't know, man. Like, he's forgiven. Like, sorry, I killed Steve. What do you want? Like, Steve is being a dick.
Yes. Well, Satan, you're described as you hate all of humanity. You oppose God, and you spread lies, and you wreak havoc on the souls of mankind.
Jesus Christ!
So you're pretty much like, you know, you're an asshole. You come off like a total prick.
I don't know if I would. I mean, yeah, I'm sure I come off as one, but I don't know if all that is true, Tom. I mean, you know, like I said before, it's like God trying to appease all the sheep followers. I mean, I can't be held responsible for every asshole that goes out and does something bad. You know, how is that my fault? I'm not God. I'm not all
right.
Being. I'm not all knowing. I don't have control over these people. You know, like, how am I supposed to stop little Eric from grabbing a gun and going back to school with it? I can't stop that. What am I supposed to do? You know.
But at least you get a free soul out of it. I mean, there's a benefit. You like souls, apparently.
I do like souls. Souls are always good. I can collect them. But, you know, it's not, I don't go too far out of my way to do it. If it falls into my lap, I'll take it. But I'm not going to sit here and whisper in someone's ear. It's not worth the effort. There's enough people. I get enough people coming down here as it is. I don't need to push my, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a brand like, let's say McDonald's. Like, they don't really have to advertise that much. They're going to have people come into McDonald's regardless of whether they put out a commercial or not. You know, I could do a little bit of advertising, get a little bit more souls, but it's not really necessary, you know?
No, yeah.
But that being said, I am an asshole. But I'm more into jovial acts of evil, okay? For example, the other day, there was this old bitch. She had a cat and a dog, and while she was sleeping, I actually switched their heads. And she woke up, and she had a heart attack on the spot, dead. I was laughing so hard that next thing you know, she's standing in front of me before I can finish laughing. She came straight to hell. It was great. It was classic.
That's a real dick move, Satan. I gotta be honest with you.
I am an asshole, but I'm not. It's a little bit blown out of proportion, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So, do you have any hobbies other than wreaking havoc on the souls of mankind?
Like I said, you know, like here and there. But most of my free time, I just go down to the lake of fire and I just skim babies across the surface and just think, you know, like about stuff.
Okay. How's Bin Laden holding up?
Bin Laden, that motherfucker. I love that guy. Actually, believe it or not, down here, we can't have toilet paper because it's so hot that it'll just immediately combust. That's probably the worst part of being in hell, honestly. Like, you always have some shit between your beaks, and it's so hot, you're always sweating. It's just diaper rash central, you know? But that's what Bin Laden is for. He's my personal aspect.
Oh, good. That's good to hear for us humans.
Yeah.
So like when somebody like Bin Laden or Hitler is like coming down, is there like a big like welcoming ceremony? Are you guys just like, you know, it's coming, you're pumped to get him because he's such a bad soul. Like, just like, it's like your prized possession. Like, look what I've done to this human being. I just made him like pretty much me. And now he gets to come join us and I get to torture him in this lake of fire for the rest of eternity.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's actually another prank I like to play. We set up a whole parade, like, you know, with banners that they made on it, balloons, floats, everything. And they come down, we act like we're throwing them a parade. And next thing you know, I just give them a real shitty job. Like, you know, Bin Laden, I said it's my personal ass cleaner. Hitler, he's actually my personal toilet. I just shit right in his mouth. It's great. You know, we just give them, like, one of the worst jobs possible. Like, we make it seem like they'd be set off, they'd be my right-hand man. It's like, nope, I'm going to be shitting in your mouth.
Oh, man. That's, you know, that's kind of what I was thinking hell would be like. You know, I mean, if I had imagined the worst possible punishment of all time, I would imagine being Satan's personal toilet, you know, my mouth.
Yeah, so, we have a lot of spicy food down here, so it's...
Oh, it's good. What kind of spices are you using down there in hell?
Ghost pepper, demon pepper.
All right. So, here's a big question.
And paprika, I forgot the paprika.
Paprika, smoked paprika. So this is a big, you know, everybody's talking about this. They've been talking about it for years. So Adam and Eve. All right. So I want you to walk me through what happened with you and Eve and how you got her to taste the forbidden fruit, because that really fucked a lot of stuff up for us, you know, being humans.
Listen. You know, this is another case of God spreading his propaganda. I'll tell you the real story, right? So one day, I was just sitting there, I was minding my own business, and the sexy little naked chick just strolls on out of nowhere. And I'm like, damn, Satan, today's your lucky day.
Was she wearing leaves over her boobs and her badge?
I mean, yeah, but she might as well have not been wearing anything.
Right.
You know, it was very small leaves. Very easy to take off. Long story short, I hit that long dick style, you know, how Satan does. And afterwards, you know, we were kind of laying there, and she was hungry, and she reached over and grabbed the apple. I tried to stop her, but, you know, bitches be tripping. You dig? You know? So she ate it, and then she blamed it on me, so I tricked her. And, you know, such a girl thing to do, just like, go out, be a slut, and just blame it on me. You know, it's not my fault. You can say no, I wasn't raping you.
Oh, boy. Satan. You are...
Hey, man, I bring the truth. I tell the facts.
We really appreciate this honesty at our first ever interview. This is very huge for us. We were really humbled to find out that we were going to get Satan as our first interview. And like, you really are just telling it how it is. And it's we're not even close to being done yet, but it's very enlightening. I just want to, you know, we'll lighten it up real quick. What's your favorite Gatorade flavor, Satan?
I have the same ones you, Tom. I like lemon lime.
You like lemon lime too?
Oh yeah, it's the best. Only real pieces of shit like that one.
Yeah. See, all right. I want to buy you a beer, Satan. Can you, like, so we were talking about this on our last episode, too, with, like, demons in the house, okay, because they're terrifying. Do you oversee all these demons that infiltrate houses? Are they, like, all your minions, or, like, some of them go rogue, or?
Yes and no. Mainly Beelzebub is in charge of that. That's kind of designated him to the whole terrorizing humanity division of hell, but he does answer to me, and he does with some of the bigger problems. He comes to me, and you know, I get my input. But for the most part, I don't like to micromanage.
Okay.
I like to delegate responsibility, so I let him take that because he's real good at it. He's a real piece of shit.
He's like the director of operations for house infiltrations.
Exactly, precisely. Yeah, he's he's good at what he does. I'll say that.
Okay, here's another question. This is a specialty for the bomb squad. So who's a person that us humans would be surprised to find out ended up down in your place, down in your neck of the woods?
Believe it or not, Gandhi. He had the dude had a real crippling porn addiction.
Didn't he light himself on fire to die too?
No, that wasn't him. That was his cousin. His name was Gandhi also.
Gotcha. So yeah, Gandhi's down in hell. So that's not good for the Buddhists.
No, he's Hindu. So I mean, the Buddhists aren't really affected. Not good for the Hinduists.
The Hinduists. What are your thoughts on Hindus?
Kind of pussies.
Do you have a favorite religion, or do you hate them all?
Yeah, Satanism.
Yeah, well, those guys are losers. Wouldn't you admit that those guys, I mean, like the crowd of people that decide to worship you, just their IQs are not very high.
Correct. They're definitely not. And maybe that is somewhere where I could do some more marketing to get sold. Maybe recruit more to my religion. But, you know, on my priority list, it's probably fourth or fifth. You know, my main thing is just terrorizing humanity.
Right. Gotcha. So several years ago, back in 1998, you were in Georgia looking for souls to steal, and you ended up stumbling upon this kid named Johnny, very, very talented fiddler. So apparently you bet a gold fiddle for his soul, which is a very substantial bet, and you were clearly the favorite, but you ended up coming out, you know, you didn't have it that day or something. Can you walk us through what happened on that day?
Listen, Johnny is the hell of a fiddler, no pun intended, but he's a fucking liar. And Charlie Daniels, he wasn't there. That's not how it even went down. He doesn't know. I told you I didn't want to talk about this. I told you.
Well, it's a very substantial part of our history is when you went to Georgia.
Guideline that I said we couldn't talk about. My one bugaboo was when I went to Georgia. I thought we went over this.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry for bringing it up.
You know what? I'm done.
Satan, wait, come on. Come on back. Please. The interview's almost over. Come on. Did you give him a gold fiddle though? I mean, that's.
Yes.
Okay, so you lost. See, I mean, you lost the fiddle off.
To he cheated.
Johnny did not. Well, you know, we haven't really heard much from Johnny since. So, I mean, I guess Charlie Daniels, like you said, wasn't there. Not that we know of. So, I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, the facts are a little weird, and that's why, you know, I wanted to ask the question, get it directly from the source. Maybe one time we'll get Johnny on here too, and we'll talk about exactly what happened between both of you.
Well, I'll tell you this. I didn't actually give him a gold fiddle. It was just a wood fiddle painted gold.
Oh.
And I still got his soul. He wasn't looking, so I think I came out on top on that one.
Oh, boy.
Johnny, little bitch.
So, Johnny, somebody's got to let Johnny know that his soul belongs to you. Johnny's going to be in hell pretty soon. 1998, that was 20 years ago.
You'll find out soon enough.
Oh, boy. All right. So, Satan, to wrap up this interview, I think everybody's wondering at home. Are there any talks of you and God getting back together, burying the hatchet, maybe like going on a reunion tour or something?
Listen, I told you before, Tom. He's a cool dude. I like to have, sit and have a couple beers with him. But, if he wants to be a speaking terms again, he's got to stop with the hypocrisy, man. He's got to legalize masturbation. He's got to legalize porn. He's got to legalize doobies. And then maybe we can start talking. But until then, I got nothing to say to him.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so Satan and God still going at it. Satan, I really appreciate the time. Thank you for coming on our podcast. Of all the podcasts you could have came on, you came on TNT. It's incredible. It's really, we're honored, we're humbled, even though you're just one of the sickest, probably the sickest thing to ever happen in the universe. We are still really happy to have you. So thanks, Satan, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom.
All right, so that was our Satan interview. So we're going to jump right into segments. So hit it, Taylor Hicks.
When I found out that it was Elvis week, I thought to myself, now I'm going to have some fun.
Okay. All right. So that was awesome. So Tones, that was, you got to hear that Satan interview, man. He's actually a really good guy. He's pretty funny.
Yeah. I mean, from what you described, it sounds like he's just kind of misunderstood.
Pretty much the best word to describe him. Is misunderstood. It sounded like, it actually sounds like God has like a couple of, skeletons,
a couple
in the closet.
Little demons in his closet, maybe.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. So we got a Do You Remember? Do you remember? So this is actually brought up by you. And I think everybody who's listening can relate. Excuse me. The sack tapping era.
Yes.
When it was cool back in the day. And I'm sure it still happens a little bit. Back in the day, we really had to worry about it, where your buddies would slap you in the nuts. They just flick the wrists and give you a slap in the nuts.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I call it the jackassification of America. when Jackass was big and
people, that's a good point.
And like everyone was just like trying to inflict harm on each other because they thought it was funny. And what better way? I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, a good nut shot is funny. But it's like when you're at high school and like everyone's going around punching each other in the dick, like you're like walking through a war zone every time you go down the hallway.
Yeah,
you're waiting for the Viet Cong to jump out of a locker and just sack tap you.
Do you have a time that you got hit in the nuts that you remember most of any?
Because
I do.
I don't remember. Like, I was pretty lucky. I didn't get a lot of like real bad ones, but I remember one that I saw somebody that was really bad. I was like in eighth grade maybe, and we're all just kind of sitting around like bullshitting. I don't know what we were doing. We weren't even like technically in class. I think we were like an indoor recess or something. Mm-hmm. And this kid is sitting on like a hard plastic chair, and he's like kind of leaning back in a way that, like, when someone came to punch him, all you heard was this person's fist hitting the chair, but his nuts were in between.
God.
And this kid,
wait, before you even go any further. So was he just trying to scare the kid, or was he really trying to hit his nuts?
He was like trying to hit his nuts, but like I don't think he realized like the way it was set up, where he was basically just like crushing his nuts before he was laying in the chair. And this kid, not even exaggerating, crawled from the classroom to the bathroom. It's like on his hands and knees, just crawled And I guess he was thrown up. I don't know what happened after that.
Jesus.
But like that, I still hear that sound like in my nightmares sometimes.
Oh, God. I'm sure the entire bomb squad's going to be hearing that sound of nightmares too. Right now, too. Yeah, because I mean, mine's nothing like that. I mean, the only time, like, I mean, it's happened a million times, but the worst one I had, remember like the nets that came with like trampolines, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So I was crawling on the outside of that, like scaling the net. You know, okay. Like Mission Impossible style.
Yeah.
I see where this is going. Yeah. And they had like a little basketball hoop in there for like, you know, trampoline basketball right. And stuff. And I was scaling the net. And then this kid took the basketball just like, you know, on a whim and just like chucked it as hard as he could right at my nuts. And it just was a direct shot where like literally kind of stunned me. I fell off the trampoline. Like I didn't even brace for the fall. I was in so much pain and shock. Yeah. Like, and I was down for a solid 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just fell off. You fell from like 5 feet in the air. Just.
Yeah. But I was pretending in my imagination that I was scaling like, you know, a very large building. So that was like, you know, the guy in Die Hard, when he falls out of that building, that's what it felt like. Yeah. You know, it was like in slow motion. Yeah, exactly. Alan Rick. All right. Yeah. All right. So we're moving on to our second segment, which is a deal or no deal spelling bee challenge. So it's Tones' turn. Tones, do you accept the challenge?
Yes, I do.
All right. So Tones has 5 over the lines, and I, of course, have 7, which means I'm participating in a TNT punishment challenge on Saturday with the Korean electric shock things on my nipples, which is really, really going to suck. So if Tones spells this word right, he gets a over the line docked off. And if he gets it right, I mean, wrong, then it gets bumped up 1, and it would be 7-6. So Tones, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, start the deal or no deal music. Your word is schlamazel.
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 Can I get a definition?
An inept, bungling person who suffers from unremitting bad luck. I'm going to use this word from now on. That's a great definition.
Is the origin, is it Yiddish?
Let's see, the country of origin. It's Dutch.
Dutch, okay. Because I'm pretty sure that's Yiddish, which... okay, so schlamazel. S-C-H-L... A...
No!
Over the line!
Fuck!
S-C-H-L-I.
I wouldn't have got that. I was between A and O.
I got a sound clip in there too. Added in.
R-O-C-K! The C is silent.
All right.
That's too bad. So that makes it 7-6. So Tones is 1 away from a TNT punishment challenge, which I really hope you get because I tested those nipple shockers out today, not on my nipples, just on my hands. And they jolted me so hard in the hands that like my hands froze and I just dropped them. Things on my nipples I'm terrified. Like I'm going to lose sleep over it tomorrow night. I have to get drunk enough to just pass out instead. So that brings us to our third segment, which is Ask a Gay.
If you weren't gay, you'd be a pretty weird guy.
Okay. So my question, we haven't done this in a while. Some questions building up. Is it possible to be so gay that you grow tits?
What a dickhead question. I'm so tempted to give you an over the line right now, but I'm not going to do that because that would give you a TNT punishment challenge. And it wasn't that over the line. Stupid question. What do you want to say to that? No, you get fat.
Well, cause I saw someone who was like really gay the other day and they were like, they're either gay or they're a woman. I really couldn't tell because they were like a little bit chubbier and they had tits, but like they looked like a dude. So I wasn't sure if you just like could be so gay that you have so much estrogen that your tits start to grow. Like, I don't know if that's it.
This is an offensive. This is an offensive movement. This is, it's not over the line, but it's a shot.
I mean, as a straight male, like these are the questions that I have. Like, this is the whole point of the segment is I ask questions about gay people.
No, we don't grow tits because we get so gay. Answer your question. Stupid question. Is that really your question?
You want me to ask another
one? Ask me a real question. Okay. That's unbelievable. That was just a full-on shot.
All right. What do you guys do with love songs? You know, love songs aren't any gay love songs, you know?
Yeah.
it's like, do you just like kind of plug in like her for him kind of deal? Or yes. Do you just like,
yeah, that's what I do. For okay. the best way to answer the question, like, this is a true story. This is what I did for, well, I still do it. Titanic. Yeah. I just pretend it's two guys. That's it. And like, once you like get that developed in your mind, you're just like, ah, love is love.
It's
just,
this guy is so gay. He has tits.
No, but yeah, well, I wouldn't, I don't know. I like, I mean, I feel like they kind of leave the pronouns out of the main good love songs where it's, I mean, like, it's still like, I don't know, but there's still a lot of she's and he's, but yeah, I know where you're coming from. You just, it's easy to get by. You gotta use your imagination a little bit.
Manage.
Yeah. But if like, I wouldn't want to hear a gay like song, like if you were to have like Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton, but it's like Clapton talking about a guy, like even that would weird me out. Like, yeah. I'd rather it would just be a guy and a girl and then just like, you know, kind of plug in the gay situation in there and then make it work. I've been able to do that successfully for several years. So
gotcha.
That's a good question. Unlike the tits question, that you just you get so gay, you pretty much turn into a woman.
I don't know, man. This is the questions I have.
I got a titty. It's like just Peter Parker waking up as Spider-Man.
You just wake up one day, you've got a big old pair of tits hanging off.
Juggling them in the mirror like, I can't believe these are real. I got titties. All right, so that moves us on to our fourth segment, which is literally...
He grew up as a little shit spark from the old shit flint, and then he turned into a shit bonfire, and then driven by the winds of his monumental ignorance, he turned into a raging shit fire.
So, Tones, what do you got?
I'm sweating my dick off right now. Could you imagine... like if you were doing doing some kind of strenuous activity where you're sweating so hard that it's just so slippery down there, your dick just falls off. Just falls.
I might have a soundbite. Write it down. I don't know if I'll be able to find it, but if I can, it's gonna be hilarious.
Okay.
Boy, my cock is gone. My cock is gone.
Just like really like you go to the gym and like you just try to take it easy and then like your dick just falls out of your shorts.
Oh shit. Everyone's dicks would just be falling off left and right. You gotta tape them to your leg or something.
At that point, you gotta just be, I mean, like if they could just fall off, like, you gotta just take them off and like just put them on for like, you know, for and sex purposes, and, you know.
You just got it in your pocket at all times in case you need it. What's that? Is that a dick in your pocket? You just happen to see me. No, it's my dick.
No, it's my dick. Later. All right. So I have This Is Bananas, which is not as gnarly as yours. But I mean, like to say like anything is bananas, like I think is pretty funny when you look at it literally.
Yeah.
Have you seen this place? It's bananas. Like, and then you just like look at it and picture it as just bananas. It's like,
all the furniture is made out of bananas.
You ruined it. It was nice. It was wild. And now it's bananas.
You got banana chandeliers.
Everything's bananas in here.
Where'd you even find all these bananas?
It's just a banana house. This house is bananas. Oh God! Now you ruined the good house.
Well, if you ever do get hungry, you just start eating your house.
Yeah, but if you get hungry, who wants to eat a banana?
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
You know, it's. Have you ever seen "Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves"?
Not in a while, but yeah.
I learned about potassium and bananas from that movie. I still remember to this day, bananas and potassium is because of "Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves." It's a great movie. Rick Moranis, shout out Rick Moranis. He actually belongs to the golf club. My brother-in-law does. And years back, my brother-in-law's younger brother almost hit him with the golf ball. Oh, shit. He almost killed Rick Moranis. Apparently, you cannot talk to Rick Moranis about any of his movies. Like, if you notice how he's fallen off the face of the earth?
Yeah.
Like, he has completely tried his best to go dark, and he has. And, like, if you go up to him and just be like, hey, like, loved you in Little Giants, he'll just be like, fuck your face.
Whoa.
Not really? Like that. No, okay. But, like, he'll have that look in his eyes. Because I think he had a really, like, I think his wife, like, tragically.
Yeah, I heard it. Like his wife, like, died of cancer or something, and he, like, retired to, you know, raise his kids and, I guess, get them out of the spotlight sort of deal, which I can respect. But, I mean, like... come on, like everyone knows, like you're Rick Moranis. Like if someone,
we want to talk about the Zelenskys, not you, Moranis.
Yeah, if someone, like I don't know, I just feel like if someone appreciates something you did, it's at least, you know, common courtesy. Like, oh, thanks, I appreciate that. You don't have to sit there and talk to him about it, but like,
hey Rick, thanks. Do you remember? You remember that scene in Honey, We Shrunk the Kids when the ant comes out of nowhere? How did you guys do that?
Yeah, I'm sure he gets a lot of that.
Was it CGI or did you get like a big ant?
The giant man in the ant suit.
Yeah. So that moves us to our fifth segment, which is a what's good.
What's good?
So I had to listen to New York City by Ja Rule featuring Fat Joe and who else?
Jadakiss.
All right, so I got a lot of questions about this song.
Okay.
So I got a few lyrics that I gotta read. All right, so no over the lines we agreed upon before the show. I don't get over the lines for reciting lyrics to a song that I didn't write. That's just me reading what it is, okay? So
all right.
I gotta set the frame, okay? So I got 100 guns, 100 clips.
Ninja.
I'm from New York, New York. I got a semi-automatic that spits next time. If you talk, you talk. So when this song came out, do you think Ja Rule immediately got put on a watch list?
No, I mean, like, at this time in rap, there was a lot of gun talk. About, like, it was, everyone was kind of saying it. And it later turned out that Ja Rule is kind of a big pussy. He got into a big beef with 50 Cent, and 50 Cent just basically shut him down. Like, he was never the same. His career was never the same.
Didn't 50 Cent get shot, like, 8 times or something?
9 times, yeah. That was when he first started rapping, before he became famous. And that's kind of why he became famous, because, like, this dude got shot 9 times, and he's still rapping.
Was it all at once, or were the nine separate?
No, it was one incident all at once. So that's why he's still actually, I don't know if to this day, but like when he started rapping again, he still had a bullet stuck in his tooth. So you could actually hear it, like when he talked, like he had a little bit of like a, not like a lisp, but like kind of like a something in the back of his mouth. Yeah, something like
yeah,
but more or less. A little bit less, but yeah, it was, so that led to the street cred.
Okay. So next question. Here's the lyric. I might get my Brooklyn
Ninja
to run in your house. I don't really understand what the running's about, but we're hunters. We take pride in airing our prey out, leaving them dead, laid out in just a sport, because we ain't playing up here in New York, New York. So, I mean, that's a pretty explicit detailed plan. And if he's not on the watch list from before, I mean, I gotta say, like, now you just gotta at least do a friendly police checkup and just be like, do you have assault rifles here? Because we are at the height of a gun crisis in this country, and you can't just be singing shit like this.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be fair, this was probably like 04 this came out, so it was before all these like school shootings and stuff. I'm sure people were paying attention.
Yeah,
they were watching.
I mean, he sounds like a very angry man.
Well, he is short.
Oh, he's short?
Yeah.
How short?
I don't know. Let's look up the height.
Yeah.
He's definitely not tall, I'll tell you that.
For those at home, I'm 6'2", built like a masculine horse. Just kidding. I have 3 jelly rolls rolled over my dick, at least.
He's 5'9". Okay, so that's not too bad.
Oh, that little bitch.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like 5'11". So
I want to shove Ja Rule off.
He probably could. I don't know. He was in prison for a while, and he just came out like a year or two ago, and he's fucking huge now.
What did he do to go in jail?
Probably guns.
Right.
Based off of this song, I'm gonna guess.
They definitely like heard the song. They're just like, somebody should go check this guy out, and like he's probably just got like a whole shelf of fucking assault rifles.
So I was looking up right now. Gun possession and tax evasion.
Okay, so he didn't pay his taxes and he had all this. So pretty much all of this is true.
Yeah, so maybe he isn't too far off. Maybe
you're all right. Then the last part of it, the last question that I have. So the lyric was, and that coke will get you a long time, but when I let them know the dope is out, it's like America Online. I just put that in because that is such a lame, mailed-in rap lyric right there. That is such a terrible rhyme.
Yeah, it's like, because I guess
get it, because yeah, no, because American Online's outdated now. Yeah, I totally got it.
Well, no, but this is when like America Online first kind of came out. Like, when I remember they were sending out all the CDs to people, and like, you know, like 300 hours America Online. So like, I guess,
well, since I'm hearing it now, I'm just like, you got to be. I fixed it for him. I replaced the lyric for him, because I can rap. We're still going to do that eventually, because I can definitely do this. So let me repeat it with my line. So. And the coke will get you a long time, but when I'm when I let him know the dope is out, it's like a shit after eating some key lime. Key lime pie.
Sure. I mean, but... All right. Does key lime pie make you shit? Is that a problem?
I don't know, but it was really hard to find a word that rhymed with time that like on the spot. So I just like had to work around lime. Just had to build around that
so,
one.
So that's the one you landed
on? I had my
on?
Base. My landed, base I knew where it was, I knew where it was going. Like it's gonna be time and lime. I just had to find a way to get there where the syllables match up and get myself to lime. So it's taking a shit after eating key lime. I don't know the song. I mean, I'll tell you what though, the thing I did like about it, he sounded like Exhibit. I wasn't expecting him to sound like Exhibit from
100 Guns 100 Clips.
Yeah, exactly. So he had a pretty good voice, but like I was disturbed by this song. And look at that, he just went to jail for pretty much everything that happened in this song. So I had a reason to be like, well, this guy's raising some serious red flags in my book. But anyway, so that brings us to our sixth and final segment before we get to our classic four pack, which is a Let There Be Rock. So Tones, you had to listen to Lucky Man by Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Yeah. Now I've heard this song.
Nice.
I couldn't tell you where or when, and I never even really listened to it. I just know I've heard like the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
But like from listening to the song and looking at the lyrics, I think this guy was either a drug dealer or a pimp or both.
Whoa.
Just from the first stanza. I mean, everything, he's got white horses. He's got white bed sheets. He has ladies by the score.
Mm-hmm.
All dressed in satin.
So it's so funny because this is pretty much exactly like a rap song, but just written like a gentleman.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's got all those women dressed in satin. You know how expensive satin is to dress a harem of women in it? It's pretty expensive.
He has what
a
gold, is satin again?
It's like that real kind of like soft, silky kind of material. And he has a gold mattress too.
Yeah.
But basically, he goes away to war and he gets killed.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. So yeah, I guess it's
It's interesting what you just said, because I mean the whole premise of the song is like it's about a guy who had everything that you could possibly want, and then he goes to war and then he dies and he's really just not so much of a lucky man, you know.
Yeah, no, it's you can give me these sad songs. Like, I don't know what you're trying to get.
Well,
me to
it's
do.
Tough because I want you to like look, because I want to like the joke that I wanted to give you is like, I'll give you like I Want to Rock by Twisted Sister, and then you could just be like, so like apparently this guy wants to rock. Like we can talk about it like that, because it's such as there's so many simple rock songs.
Yeah,
you keep giving me these intense like to pick apart raps. I want to give you like storytelling kind of songs a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
Like I could do Springsteen all day because all his songs are dissectable, but they're just not as funny. That's the thing. So, but yeah, it's, you know, how he got to the fortune that he had, where he had the horses and the satin and everything like that. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
They never talked about his career in the song.
I bet you never expected me to say that. That he was a drug dealer or a pimp.
I'm going to listen to it again later and think about it that way.
I mean, it's just the proof is in the pudding, man. I call it how I see it, you know.
Proof is in the pudding, baby. Love it. All right, so we're going to hit a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with your classic four-pack questions.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Cell Phone Holster Wearer.
Mr. Cell Phone Holster Wearer.
A six-shooter? No. A two-handed broadsword? No. Your hip is permanently strapped with 3 inches of cold cellular steel, and you're not afraid to use it.
As long as I'm not roaming.
Through optimal cellular positioning, you answer calls in under a second. Anything over that, and you might as well be using smoke signals.
Barbecue!
Ignoring the fact that cell phones are now small enough to fit in your pocket, you tell the world, I have a cell phone, and it's not in my pocket.
I'm just happy to see you.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh hero of the holster, because on our speed dial, you'll always be number one.
Mr. Cell Phone Holster.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Thank you, Kane. So, question number one, Tones. What is the most embarrassing way to die?
If you were, let's say you happen to be like shaving your balls and you just like nicked an artery.
Oh, boy. Are there arteries in the balls? I don't think so.
I don't know. There might be something down in that gooch area. I got a feeling. There's a lot of blood.
Really fuck up.
There's a lot of blood flow down there.
Died shaving his balls.
Yeah, you got half a sack shaved. I mean, because it's like, especially with me, because like they know I'm not shaving it like for anybody in particular. It's like, this is just maintenance, and he couldn't even make it through that.
You do maintenance, even though if you have no plans of getting, I don't shave until it's like, if I find out I'm going to get laid like hours before, that's when I'll go shave everything.
I mean, like,
that's how lazy I am.
I just don't like it getting too bushy. Like, once it gets to the point when it looks like someone poking out of a bush, like, yeah. That's when it's time to trim it down a little bit. I don't shave completely because I'm not a porn star. but yeah, you know, you got to have a little manscaping going on. You can't be a total, total bushman or whatever.
I think we brought it up in like the first ever. Do you remember like when the only time I ever tried to have sex with a girl? Like, I was so unprepared. Like, I hadn't shaved my bush ever. So I cracked a joke. She didn't get it, but I was just like, you know what they say about Vietnam? You got to be more afraid of the jungle than the gooks, you know? My dick looks so small behind those weeds. It looked like a whole thing of like steel wool from shop class.
It's like a button in a fur coat.
Looked like an ostrich, but like with no neck. Just like a baby ostrich. A
necklace ostrich.
Yeah. So I mean, I looked at this question and just approached it really specifically with the embarrassing thing. So I put down, if someone waves to you and you wave back, but then you realize that they're waving to a person behind you, and then in a state of embarrassment, trying to get out of the situation, you go to cross the street and you get hit by a Prius.
By a Prius.
Try to just make it as embarrassing as possible.
Yeah.
A Prius decked out in Bernie Sanders gear.
All right, so, I mean, just the whole, yeah, everything leading up to it, and because that is a very embarrassing situation when someone's waving at you, and then they just look at you like, "What?
I'm gonna sound
you, asshole."
Who are you waving at, Happy?
Nobody, Grandma.
Yeah, it's. Everybody's done that before, where like you see like some random person like looking like they're directly waving at you, and you wave back, and like what? And then you like you look over and they're like talking to the person behind you, like, why the fuck would he be waving at me? I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
in my life.
Yeah, but that is so embarrassing when that fucking happens.
And then you get hit by a Prius. Forget it.
Yeah.
Well, you can't hear him coming, so I guess it's not that embarrassing. I mean, like, it's more likely to get hit by a Prius than a normal.
I like car. To think of it like where everybody saw that you got in that awkward situation.
Yeah, in a crowded street.
And then they see you try to get out of that awkward situation, just like try to casually cross the street, but there's clearly a Prius coming. Like a solid 28 miles an hour and a 25.
And that's enough to kill you? That's even more embarrassing than everything else.
You get, like, bumps. Oh, man.
Yeah. That's embarrassing. You bounce off the Prius and you get hit by a bus on the other side. You go flying in the air and a bus comes and fucking T-bones you.
Everybody just goes from straight cringe to just like, oh god, what a bad way to go. totally avoidable situation. But anyways, that brings us to our second question of the four pack. So Tones, what would become 10 times worse if it were to become invisible?
Oh, I misread this question. I thought you were asking, would I become 10 times worse if I was invisible?
No, anything. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. You know, why don't you go first? Let me think about this.
All right. I put down bees.
That would be bad.
Bees would be bad because once you get stung once by an invisible bee, the rest of your life is in pure fear. You're just like looking over your back shoulder at all moments. Cause I was going to say, like, I was going through the list, like spiders is obviously terrifying, but like, you know, you live in Baltimore, you don't really encounter too many spiders. Like if I was in Australia and there were like huntsman spiders that I had to kind of deal with, then that would be the most horrifying thing of all time. But here we have to deal with a lot of bees. And if I just like get stung by a bee out of nowhere and I don't see it like ever, oh my God, I'm living in fucking fear.
It's like every time you feel a little tickle on your arm, you start freaking out. Every time you hear
I was going to say like invisible cars would be horrible because you don't know like when to cross. But then I realized like, no, because the people who are driving it would just be floating down the street. So you could just see them coming.
All right. I got one.
Self-driving invisible cars. That would be terrifying.
That would be terrifying. Go ahead. Yeah. I think the scariest thing to become invisible would be rapists. Because you just don't know when you're about
that to. That was off the cuff, too. That's a little brutal.
Yeah. I was just trying to think of, like, what's the worst thing to not see coming?
If you're
like,
an invisible rapist, you are at a very, very big advantage.
Yeah. And even if, like, they know you're raping them, they can't see who it is. So it's just like, they'll never know. I could just, I could just keep raping them. I mean, you don't know.
Jesus Christ.
You're just sitting there, and all of a sudden you got a dick in your mouth. Like, where'd that come from?
Whoa. Yeah. I mean, imagine like having a serial, like, I'm sure like if you're an invisible rapist, you probably just pick like, you know, one victim for a while. And she's just definitely like, I'm being haunted by spirits right now. So it's just like, you just got to like get exorcists out like that. You could just be like the full on like demon. Like, that shit doesn't work here. I'm just an invisible rapist. I ain't no demon.
Yeah. You think they would just like sit on the toilet naked and just wait for people to walk in kind of thing
with a boner?
I mean, that's kind
dude,
of
we gotta move on. This is really
okay. All right, well,
so bad. And you at your six over the line.
Oh shit! I keep forgetting that. Okay, yeah. Let's
I think we should give you one.
I mean, it's up to you.
Invisible rapist is a really dark thing to say.
I mean, I was gonna say between that.
Once you get into the nitty gritty of what an invisible rapist is, that's really terrible.
I mean, you asked me.
It's like Predator, except with sexual implications instead of like trying to kill Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I mean, I don't want the seventh over line, but I guess between that, and I remember I had another one before. Yeah,
you asked me if you get too gay, if you go aggressive.
All right. Yeah. You want to. All right.
Over the line.
Over the line.
And that is seven over the lines. I think you got, this is where I got my seventh over the line, was in the four pack of questions the other day.
Yeah,
so
the whole Muslim.
Yeah. That was an oopsies. Sorry.
God damn it.
So you will have to partake in a TNT punishment challenge the next Saturday show after this one, because I'm going to be busy getting my nipples shocked this weekend. So, all right. So let's move on from that real quick.
Shit.
Yeah. So question number three, what childhood activity do you wish was socially acceptable for adults to take part in?
I want it to be socially acceptable to just like eat mac and cheese. Cause I feel like that's frowned down upon.
Oh no, no community. Way.
I mean, I know you probably agree with me, but you go to like a nice restaurant, there's not gonna be mac and cheese there.
Oh yeah. Well, that's different. I mean, my brain went right to like barbecue. Like if I'm getting barbecue, mac and cheese, immediate fixing.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, either that or just, you know, like playing video games all day,
which we do.
We do, but it's not like acceptable to do.
Nobody sees us though. So it's like, yeah.
Cause you're not a productive member of society if you just play video games all day.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's a good one. I have Manhunt written down.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I was a big Manhunt guy back in the day.
Manhunt was a good time.
Man, you know, listen to this shit. So a buddy of mine, his dad was a greenskeeper at a golf course, and they lived on the golf course. Like it came to play part of the job. So like we got to play Manhunt at night on the driving range. And it was like huge. We did it for years, man. Like the house was home base, so you had to make it back there. And it was like 5-on-5. Oh my God, it was so much fun. But listen to this story. So I'll never forget it. So I would always run as far out as possible and then just work my way back in through the darkness, through sand traps and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. So I make it back to like a bush that's like right in front of the house, and I'm hiding behind it. There's a couple people around. So my buddy, he gets spotted. So they both like one of them runs after him. So he sees it coming. So he starts to climb a tree, like this really dark tree. So like all of a sudden, like, I don't know, a minute or two later, you just see this swarm of shit come out of the tree. And then you see my buddy just literally fall out of the tree and hit every branch along the way, hit the ground, get up like it never happened, and just fucking run out of the place going crazy with his hands. The tree was filled with bats.
Oh, no.
The whole tree was completely, there was like 100 bats in there.
That's
and he crawled all the way to the top and then like made a noise, and then they all scattered, and then he fell out of the tree. So he like looked at the bats and realized what the situation was and just like let go and fell and was like swarmed by bats.
That's all.
Isn't that horrifying? I was like, dude, what was that? And he's like, bats!
He definitely like got to the top and just like looked up and was looking like eye to eye with a bat.
Yeah, and then one of them flew, and then they all flew, and then he just completely fell out of the entire fucking tree. It was wild, but it was the craziest manhunt.
Yeah.
That same kid, not to go on a tangent, this is fucking crazy. So we were getting ready to play Manhunt, you know, waiting for the sun to go completely down, you know. It was like a 6:30, waiting for like 7:30. So he had a an electric fence because it was a private golf course. So like whenever you went there, like your parents dropped you off, you type in a code and the fence goes to the side and you drive in.
Okay.
So he was playing on that fence. And then he didn't see a car coming and they opened it with the remote instead of having to type in the keypad. And he was close to the wheel that spins the fence in and his hand went right under it. And his fingers, nearly almost all of them came off. His hand to this day is still like fucking like that.
Yeah, that sounds awful. It's stuck in the, so it's like a wheel kind of gear kind of thing.
It's it was a steel. It wasn't metal or steel, actually. It was like stone. It was like a stone wheel that was moving the fence. And his hand just went right under it. And like he didn't feel a thing. He just like came out and his hand was like that. And we were just like, holy shit. And then he ran inside. Manhunt got canceled, obviously. It stuck. that's what we were more concerned about. Like, man, who cares, right? But fucking bummer that Manhunt's like not happening tonight. We were like all set, like, like waiting for the sun to go down.
Asshole ruined Manhunt.
You're fucking asshole playing on the goddamn fence ruined Manhunt tonight. So that brings us to our fourth question, the final of the four pack. So Tones, what is your favorite chain restaurant or store?
Now this answer has a little bit of a story behind it. It's not because I like their product necessarily.
Do you want to put the accordion music behind it?
Yeah, it's actually a little bit of a Tales of
Cruise. All right, go ahead. Yeah, I don't
mind. So it's Little Caesars. Because when I was doing my makeup thing, you know, sometimes you have a day that's not great. You're not selling a lot.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, yeah, especially with the makeup. And what I do when I'm like, I stress eat. I stress, you know, I kind of, whenever I'm like stressed or I'm upset or whatever, I eat. It's just what I do. I don't know what else to do, so I eat. And I'll go into Little Caesars and you go in there, you're getting a full pizza for $5. You walk in with a $5.
You're hot and ready. You don't even have to wait.
Exactly. So I would just do that and I just eat it by myself in my car. And,
you eat it in the parking lot of Little Caesars? Yeah. You are one pathetic loser.
Because I was still like on the clock. I'm not. I was in the middle of like Jersey or something. I live in New York, so I'm not going to drive all the way home to eat this goddamn pizza. And it's like, I have another person with me and they're like out, like trying to sell it. I'm just in my car eating pizza and I dispose of the box before they get back.
I could see you sitting in the Little Caesars parking lot, eating the entire pizza, listening to like REM's Everybody Hurts.
More or less, that's what I would do on a tough day. So they got me through some tough sales days. Little Caesars pizza. Yeah, it was awful pizza. The worst pizza I've ever had.
I don't think I've ever had it.
It's really bad. It wasn't up here I would get it down in Florida.
I mean, like, I just don't believe in carryout pizza. I mean, like, unless I'm really close to a place, like, normally a pizza for me 100% needs to be delivered.
Absolutely. No, yeah, I'm the same way. This is just kind of like, and it was cheap, too. And, like, when I didn't make sales, I wasn't making money. So it's like, I get a whole pizza for $5.
Well, Domino's offers these fucking deals that puts fucking them to, I mean, because Domino's is carryout, too, but it's a much more quality product, I assume.
Right.
Because, well, a little, I guess, to keep on this, my old apartment that I first moved into was right across the street from the Domino's.
Okay.
So their apartment, or their address was 1234, 1233 Light Street. Mine was 1234 Light Street.
Oh, wow.
And I lived technically right across the street. Like, the buildings faced each other, but my exit out of my apartment was in the back of the building, and to walk around it was, like, it's a big, huge building that you have to walk around. It takes a while. So, like, it was enough for me to, like, not want to do it. I, like, would never get it because you can't order delivery for a place that's next door. Yeah. You can, but, like, it's so embarrassing. It's like, where's this pizza going? Over there.
See, literally the first that building
they can see. They're too lazy to go pick it up. It's probably some 600-pound gay guy. So I just avoided
it. I would just do that and just tip the guy well. I mean, if you give the guy like a $5 tip for walking across the street, I don't think he'll mind.
Because I knew that they would go, like, they would like rub it in my face and go knock on the front door of the place, but I can't get to that front door. That's like, I lived on top of a real estate office, and that was their front door. My door was in the back, so they'd have to go all the way around, and it's a pain. Like, it was such a pain in the ass getting food delivered to that place. But once they, like, I start, because I couldn't afford that place, that's why I moved out. Like, I didn't know what I was doing at all when I moved in that place. Yeah. Literally, like, looked at the rent and thought I could afford it because I forgot about taxes. And, like, once I got my first paycheck, I went to HR and was just like, where's the rest of it? Like, oh, yeah, it's called federal taxes, idiot. I realized right off the get-go I couldn't afford it. So once Domino started offering, like, $4.99 carryout medium pizzas.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. Yeah, that's huge. That's a big deal because that's like dinner tonight, lunch tomorrow, and perhaps dinner tomorrow as well. Like pizza's a big deal when you
Oh no, for sure. I mean, I would eat that in one sitting, but
I could too. But like, you just had to conserve. Like, you had to have like two slices now, just to like hold it over. Like, you know, we'll figure out breakfast. Probably skip it and just have a coffee. Couple slices for the lunch, and then go ham dinner tomorrow night. We won't spend a cent. That's what it was all about. I still do that a lot. I don't know why I'm talking about food. That's the past. I still do that. It's not from Domino's. I go to a different place now. But anyway, so mine, I have Buffalo Wild Wings written down, obviously.
I knew you were going to say that.
I mean, I am a B-Dubs fan. I love that place.
It's a great place. It's a great place.
It's Wings, Beers, and Sports. I mean, that's just everything that I need, really. Like, I mean, right there. I mean, right when they came up with their slogan, I'm just like, bang, like that's the restaurant that I'm fucking talking about. And the wings are pretty fucking good. I don't care what anybody says.
No, they're good. They're real solid wings.
People come up to me and they're like, the wings stink. I'm just like, you're an idiot. They're fine.
They're a little small.
Do you always go with the regular wings or do you get boneless?
I'm more of a regular wing guy.
Yeah, I'm a big boneless guy.
Yeah.
It's too much of a mess.
I thought it'd be the other way around.
It's too much of a mess with the finger foods. I love good wings. I got wings for dinner tonight, like regular wings, not boneless. So like I'll be dealing with that mess. I just hate it. Like you get it all over your fingers, then it gets under your fingernails. And then like, you know, it's just.
Yeah, that's I always make sure before I eat wings, I take my contacts out because I know like later that night it is a 50-50 shot that my eyeballs are just burn out of my head. I'm also
sneaks in there.
Yeah. Also, I mean, in person, like in not in person, like at the restaurant, like I don't. You know, I'll be more likely to get boneless just because I don't want to look like a complete like mess in front of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, with like sauce everywhere. But like I'm still at heart. I'm a bone-in guy.
Yeah. I mean, I love bone-in, but like if you got boneless on the menu, they have to be like the ones that they have at B-Dubs. Because if it's just chicken tenders that are like battered in hot sauce, that's just like that might as well be the kids menu. I don't want to do that. You're going to look an idiot. Just get regular wings like everybody else. But shout out B-Dubs. Love B-Dubs. Outside Texas Roadhouse written down here because I love Texas Roadhouse. They just blast like Stevie Ray Vaughan. You eat a steak, have some bread. It's really just a great time.
I've never been there.
Oh, man. And they also have this thing. If you sit at the bar, at least the one that I used to go to, they used to have the aluminum bottles of beer and their fridge was like the temperature was like 24 degrees, like below freezing. Ooh. But the beer doesn't freeze in the aluminum bottles if like you keep it at the right one. So the beers were just like the coldest beers I've ever had in my life. It's like it's the equivalent of like having a coffee that's way too hot. And you got to let it sit.
Yeah,
like, that's how cold the beer was.
Really? That's cold.
It's cold. It was very cool. So shout out Texas Roadhouse. So Tones, that's the show. That's episode 22. Is that episode 22?
23. Yeah, 23.
Awesome. So you got any post-show thoughts?
No, I hope the interview with Satan was good.
Yeah.
Go back and listen.
I hope so too. Yeah, you'll have to listen.
Just go subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, follow us on Twitter.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We love you, Bomb Squad, and we will talk to you Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Friday. All right. We'll have our Talking Flicks updates with this show on a Friday. So we'll see you Friday, Bomb Squad. Have a good one.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, cause I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." The devil opened up his case and he said, "I'll start this show." And fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. devil finished, Johnny said, well, you're pretty good, old son. But sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, let your dog bite, no child, no. The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. And he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best there's ever been. He played, found a mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. A chicken in the bread pan, a picking out dough. Granny, will you don't fight no child.